How committed are we to the Lord? How determined are we to give Him the best of our lives? But it's good to think about this as we are at the beginning of the year to set our focus. And think of it. Jesus was very serious and committed and determined to go to the cross for us. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 tells us, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Jesus was very committed and determined to endure the intense suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was determined and committed to survive the awful scourging for us. Remember, with his stripes we are healed. He was determined and committed to carry his cross after that most awful beating, so that he could be crucified for us, as we studied last week. Jesus knew the opposition and death sentence that he would face at Jerusalem. Yet he was determined and very serious about giving his life for us. Jesus was so serious and determined about giving his life for us that although he could have come down from the cross at any time, as we discussed last week, he didn't. How serious should we be about our walk and commitment to him? As Jesus gave his best to us, his blood, his life, we want to give our best to him. If you could turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. Joshua chapter 24 and verses 1 to 18. Joshua chapter 24, in the beginning at verse 1. "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord. He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you live in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent a hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So in this passage, you keep hearing about the river, the river. The river refers to the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River flows through Syria and Iraq and joins the Tigris River and empties into the Persian Gulf. So just to give you an idea of what they're talking about, when he mentioned the river, it's the Euphrates River. At this time in Israelite history, the people of Israel were already in the Promised Land. Yet God had to give the stern message through Joshua. We may have been serving the Lord for many years, but from time to time, the Lord has to wake us up to our condition. Are we determined, as was Joshua, that we could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? God spoke to his servant Joshua to remind them of all he had done for them in order to bring them into the Promised Land. The Lord has taken us through trials and sicknesses, other difficulties, difficult times in life. Where was our love and our commitment and our determination to please and serve him? Jesus has given us everything we need in life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. So the Lord has given us all our needs, and he's given us our wants also. You look back in your life, look around your house, how many things you don't need, but you wanted, and God gave it to you. He's given us our wants also. Where was our love and commitment and devotion to him? Jesus gave his blood, his life, for the healing of our body, soul, and spirits. Where was our love, our sincere commitment, our determination to please and serve him? The Lord has given us the hope of eternal heaven with him. Where was our love, our sincere commitment, and devotion to him? If you want to read, you could turn with me, if you want, to Psalm 103. And I'm just going to read verses 1 to 5. Psalm 103, talking about what the Lord does for us. Psalm 103, and we're just going to read verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. With this in mind, where is our love, our commitment, and determination to please and serve the Lord? Where is our devotion to him? The Lord has given his life for our eternal salvation. He has showered and poured blessings on us throughout our lives. He has poured out his love on us. We heard the testimonies this morning how the Lord has healed so many times. Where is our devotion and loyalty to him this morning? Are we committed to the Lord as was the Hebrew slave to his master? I'll just read to you, you don't have to turn to it, Exodus chapter 21 and verses 5 and 6 about the Hebrew slave, the laws of the Hebrew slave. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the door, to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Are we ready to go to the doorpost this morning? Are we really committed to our master Jesus, to love him with all our heart, to be seriously and totally committed to him, and to be determined that we will never leave him? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, we said that we would serve him all the days of our lives. But are we genuinely committed to Jesus that we will serve him all the days of our lives? Are we serving the Lord the way he deserves to be served? This morning, is our commitment to the Lord genuine or on shaky ground? Is it waning? Are our priorities in life reflecting a sincere, wholehearted commitment to Jesus? Does Jesus come before all else in life? The first of the Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. You read that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Nothing should come between you and God. Is our attention, our focus, our love on Jesus or something or someone else? We need to really examine ourselves this morning as we are early in the year. We should be committed not to an earthly Lord, but to the only sovereign Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we want to commit to. We should be committed to the only one who was determined to die for our eternal salvation. If we are going to be committed to anyone, it doesn't get any better than the most serious and total commitment to Jesus. This morning, we need to ask ourselves, in a spiritual sense, has our ear been pierced? Is our greatest commitment to Jesus or someone or something else? If our ear has not been pierced, we need to really get to know Jesus. If we genuinely know who Jesus is and all that he means to us, we would be very willing to get our ears pierced, be totally committed to him, and certainly would not want any other master. And you hear about the command against idolatry. And his command to the people of Israel, Joshua instructed them to put away the gods which your fathers served. You may think, I don't serve any God. I don't worship any idol. We don't do that. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. If something comes between you and God, it is first in your life and not God who should be first. Therefore, it is an idol. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21 states, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Again, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. I want to read something in Matthew chapter 10, the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We need to examine our lives to see what may have come between us and God. What has come between us and our devotion, our service, our commitment to the Lord? What has become more important than our devotion, our service, our commitment to God? Whatever that person, social event, or priority is, it has become an idol. Have electronic devices, electronic programs taken the place of time that should be spent in the house of the Lord? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 reads, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to give our best efforts, our devotion to the Lord, and not to an idol. Whatever idols and improper values we may have in our lives should be placed on an altar of sacrifice. The line from a hymn that we know states, is your all on the altar of sacrifice, everything. You say, wow, well, Jesus deserves that. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Will God be first in your life or an idol? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 reads, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. We need to remove any idol or distraction from our lives. Will we hold on to the doctrines and values of political correctness that are advocated in our society, or will we hold fast to the doctrines and the values of Jesus Christ? Will the Lord be first in your life, or the doctrines and values of our government and society? We should and need to honestly examine our lives to see if there is something that is coming between us and God. We want to ask the Lord to reveal any idol that we may have, then ask him to help us to remove it. Joshua told the people, choose for yourselves this day. How serious is our walk with the Lord? How determined are we to have a more serious and sincere commitment to him? Luke chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus spoke, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means heeding the consequences. So see then that you walk heeding the consequences. not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, Paul said the days are evil back then. Imagine what he would say today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In our walk with the Lord, we cannot be neutral. It's in one of our hymns, neutral you cannot be. We cannot have one foot in the ways of the Lord and one foot in the world. That doesn't work. It's all for Jesus. Either we are serving the Lord or we are not. There is no in between. How serious is our commitment to the Lord this morning? If you really know and love Jesus, you will be very serious about your commitment to him. In our walk with the Lord, we cannot rest on past experiences or past blessings. We need to seriously move forward with Jesus. We may have given our lives to the Lord many years ago, but looking back, how much of our lives did we really give to him? How serious is our walk with Jesus? A person may say that he or she accepted and committed his or her life to the Lord at the time of water baptism. But what is your commitment, your devotion to the Lord like today? Is he first in your life, your top priority, or have idols developed? Has something in our lives developed to which we are giving more attention, a higher priority than we give to the Lord? Are we primarily committed to an idol, whatever that may be, or to God? Jesus didn't come to earth with a half-hearted love for us. He came, he gave his best, his blood, his life, all his love for us. Are we going to give just a part or only half of our heart, our commitment, our devotion to the Lord? Are we only going to give half? Or are we going to give all of ourselves, our most sincere commitment and devotion, our best to him? Is Jesus really Lord of our lives? Someone may be thinking, why do I ask that question? Because how much of our lives have we seriously committed and devoted to Jesus? This morning, as it is still early in the new year, we want to make a most loving and loyal decision to give our absolute best to the Lord, and to be totally serious about our commitment, our devotion, and dedication to him, because he certainly deserves it.